This is Dr. Linda Amerson from Texas, the owner of LA's Hair and Scalp Clinic. I am giving a shout out to Carrie,
Chief of College of New Orleans, Louisiana. I just want to give a shout out to the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines and his new team this morning.
Yay! All right. So in the morning, what do you do each day?
I listen to the Hair Radio Show, baby.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Carrie Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
appreciate all of our amazing fans at the Hair Radio Show. And we know that you have many choices of how you spend your time each morning. So we thank you for listening, because your hair speaks volumes.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
Favorite guest? I've been asked who my favorite guest is, or who are some of the interviews that really kind of stick out with you, or some kind of variation thereof. I'm Kerry Hines, and I have to say, in honor of looking at our big milestone of the Hair Radio Morning Show, it's given me some time to reflect, and I wanted to share some of these reflections with you guys, the fans of the broadcast. Let me say, thinking about guests, it gives me that doing the Hair Radio Morning Show is a great joy, because I get to live out, meeting my heroes, growing up and listening to amazing singers, watching amazing television actors and movie stars, and then getting an opportunity to literally talk to them, and they know my name. It's been extraordinary. And so to think, some of the most influential artists of our time, we've had an opportunity to welcome right here to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Folks like, of course, the legendary multi-Grammy award-winning We Are the World singer, Miss Dionne Warwick, who worked, of course, on that project with Lionel Richie, Michael Jackson, Tina Turner, Cyndi Lauper, Diana Ross. The list just goes on and on and on. And so to have this amazing artist, Miss Warwick, to even know who I am, let alone to join me live on the Hair Radio Morning Show for a special interview, was quite remarkable. Now, I had already interviewed Dionne's sister, Didi, who had passed away several years back, and I had interviewed Didi twice, and Didi's voice to me, I never will forget her voice. It sounded so much like Dionne's voice, so this was great. When I had a chance to talk to Dionne prior to me conducting the interview, I remember I had a chance to catch Ms. Warwick's ear, and I said, you know, I interviewed your sister Didi, not once, but twice. And it was always one of my favorite interviews, just the most beautiful voice. And so, they had a big group, the Drinker Sisters and all of that. And so, great thing. So when I'm asked about my favorite guest, Dionne Warwick has to be way up high.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of the Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand, completely living off of Black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one Black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois, and that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. There means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few Black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about black-owned businesses and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our black community my life. The black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine light on what happened in Tulsa. Most black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring black hair care back. There are great black hair care companies that exist, black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the black community can own the biggest black hair care brands, that the black community can own black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in black neighborhoods, and black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the black hair care products that only black people use, and they are not owned by black people. So I've issued the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge, and tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a black-owned company.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and my very special guest with us is Ms. Cheryl Morrow. Now, she is just a legendary hair industry specialist, and we're going to find out why. Cheryl, welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Oh, thank you for having me, Carrie. So good to be here with you.
Yes.
An old friend.
It has been a very long time, and we've got a lot to talk about.
Yes.
Okay. I want to start with just first of all, you're out in sunny San Diego area, and Cheryl, I have to say, let's bring everybody up to speed because I've known you for a couple decades easily.
Yes.
So we're going to just introduce you to our wonderful listeners out there. And reintroduce you to some because you've been with us so long that some of our I'm going to say old time listeners, but some of our original listeners to the Hair Radio Show certainly know who you are. So we're gonna just go back and let's establish that with everybody first. Now you're a known hairstylist.
Yes.
You're also a chemist.
Yes.
You've run shops. You
yes.
educate. I consider you to be hair royalty. And that is being the daughter of the great Willie Morrow. And he's a hair industry pioneer.
Yes.
And you guys know, was it 100 years without a comb, was it?
I wish it was 100.
Well, no, 400 years. I'm sorry. Was it 400? Am I right? I mean, this is going from my memory. It was a while ago, but I remember this documentary. Now, you've got to tell us.
Do we?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What, no, you go ahead, please.
Yeah, it's four centuries, which is a long
wow.
time.
Wow.
So
yeah, that is 400. Yeah.
That part. Mr. Morrow is a young 75 years old. And
shout outs. Yeah.
And,
yeah, absolutely.
Very bright, vibrant, but he is now embarking on trying to really do a guide. So he's going to be walking everyone through the four centuries of more of the really intrinsic information about specific things and artifacts, why we created them, how what we invented, how we invented them, and just really deep stuff of that nature. I mean, just really getting into explaining how, you know, just the ingenuity of some of the artifacts and tools and relationships, too. That's very important. He's going to explain how his relationship and Mr. Bronner came about and his relationship with John Johnson and George Johnson and all the others. So it's going to be a project. So he's busy doing that. So he actually is in the next office across from me, by the way.
Well, let me tell you, he's such a wonderful resource, of course. I certainly remember having a wonderful opportunity and just luck to be able to, thanks to you, of course, to interview him decades ago as well.
Uh-huh.
And just to be such an innovator, and I know he was doing so much, and just always literally in the middle of the hair industry.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I just love it, and I'm so grateful. And then to know here you are, okay?
Right in the middle of.
I mean,
right
you are truly, yes.
What we're doing now is we are trying to really, I think, how we deal with things in today's internet, because the last time, I think we were really talking to each other, and we were in each other's presence, Carrie, was there was no social media.
No, I'm about to say there was no, and social media was nowhere in sight,
right.
Not that I could recall.
And let me just say this, and we already had some challenges with myths and issues of misinformation and bad information. So
mm-hmm.
One of the things that we love to I want to start with talking about what we're actually doing now.
Yes, please.
Presenting the Curl Academy in terms of allowing African-American beauty enthusiasts, no matter whether they're beauty editors and bloggers and content writers or just general consumer laymen who are just enthusiasts about hair care and beauty and personal care, to be able to obtain real and scientific lab research, research team, very sound data and technology that they can really base that is factual and has been researched and studied. And they can have that information as well as, of course, put the cosmetologists and the barber stylists and people of professional with certificates and licenses and things of that nature. So they also can reap the benefits of that sound, real ground level entry to what lab and manufacturing, production, science, technology, how does that all work in the beauty world? We also offer elevation. We also offer, there's a wonderful success story, and just to give you an example, there's a barber stylist who wanted to elevate into beauty litigation. So now he consults lawyers on beauty lawsuits. But he came to the Curl Academy to get that particular training.
Wow.
He also does that. It's just an exciting new university, new pool of information, Carrie, just representing. This is the new ethnic hair care school. Like,
wow.
I like it, like the new school in New York City.
Yes.
It's the
yes.
new paradigm shift. It's the new consciousness, and it's exciting. I mean, I have spoken to people all over, and they're just as excited that we're going to get a fresh perspective, some fresh.
Well, it sounds like it. Yes. Now you,
mm-hmm.
you've
Go
got
ahead.
To tell everybody how did this come about with the Curl Academy.
I had a reoccurring, people would call me, people would also, and I basically, Carrie, got disenfranchised and I don't want to say tired, but it, just the one-on-one everyday phone call from people who just really upset or really just, and then bloggers having these really great arguments. I mean, really bad arguments. I wouldn't say great arguments.
Right.
That's a misnomer, right?
Correct.
But just these arguments about what is right, what is not right, having these really top hair care celebrities and all these people, I mean, just saying the weirdest things about what is true and what is not true and what goes on. And I'm saying, wow, we really have got to get on the same page with a couple of a set of truths. And we can, after we get on that page with those set of truths, Carrie, we can bring our own light and our own twist to it. But we do have to have, you know, I mean, United States works from a constitution. Then you can
right.
twist everything else and put your own juice on it. But you have to start with a constitution. And you have to start with some framework and something that remains to be true no matter what trend and era and genre, no matter what, you know, it always stays the same. The scientific facts stay the same. So that was my purpose of starting the acrylic.
And how has it been received so far, Cheryl?
By consumers, fabulous. By the natural hair care community, weird.
Uh-oh, you've got to explain it.
Standoffish.
Wow.
And that's as honest as I can be. And let me just say this. I understand, though. I mean, you and I have talked about that many times, but I understand it because this is fresh, new information that has always been there because Mr. Marl has written scientific data on Afro textures by racial textures since 1961. So it's always been there, it's been.
Yes, please tell us. Yes, well, we can't let you. Now, you know, I understand, but we're going to fill in our wonderful listeners. Tell us why you think that's the case, though, why it's been received in these areas. And you said it, you know, weird, and, you know, so you've got all these folks out there probably waiting to hear from you.
Yeah, I'll explain the weird, why I say weird.
Okay.
I'm going to explain that because when we originally, you and I met, and we talked about the challenges from that perspective, we did not have the internet.
No, it was a completely different world.
Right, of research. And
right.
the problem is that the research that is on the internet is not, I repeat, is not, though it is written by black people, or it could be written by people of color, or it can be written by the pen of a black person, the root intelligence that it's from is always from the traditional cosmetology. And because Afro textures, in all of its variations, all of its textures, colors, all of its variations, does not come from the curly perspective. It comes from its opposite, which is the straight perspective. It is always spoken in terms of its opposite. So the information that's ascertained that they're using on the internet, though it may be on a black white website or a black website or a Latin website, it doesn't make a difference, or a Dominican or a Puerto Rican, it doesn't matter. It is still entrenched, drenched, submerged from the standard white cosmetology reference metric system. It's measured up against that. So when they begin to hear the Curl Academy and begin to hear something that is not not even born. It's completely in a whole other stratosphere, a whole other planet, and it's coming from an Afrocentric perspective, then it takes a minute for it to sink in. I don't think they particularly reject it, but it is most times when I speak to them and they call me, I have to, you know, there's this whole dead silence. You know, and it's the most—it's the weirdest thing, Carrie. So you know, it's,
wow.
It's they embrace it, but it is—it's not fear. It's just, I think, a real big whoa.
Mhm.
So it's a good thing.
And it sounds like it is a good thing.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's not a bad thing. I think it's ethnic beauty. Regardless of what nationality they are, they could be from Costa Rica. It doesn't make a difference. To hear something exclusively about you that doesn't have the dominant power structure in it is a weird experience.
Mm.
Yeah, it is. When you don't have, when you just have you in it, and it's not in a response, it's not negative or positive. It just is, and it's about you. And it's the first time you've heard it, and you're and it takes a minute.
I have to say, Cheryl, yes, this is quite amazing. It really is. You've got to tell everybody. Now, I seem to remember that you were also doing a lot of work in the laboratory.
Mm-hmm.
And have you worked on anything, come up with anything recently in recent times, or
Carrie,
want to talk about that?
Yeah. Do you have to ask? I mean,
well, see, I really know the answers to all these because I know that you are just putting it down and you're always creating. You know, that's why everybody knows you and everybody loves all that you are doing in your work, because we know what you're doing and we know how hard you're working. But for those one or two out there, we're going to educate them right now.
Right, right. It's a wonderful experience that happened yesterday because one of those, of course, there we go again with those great debates that we love to have.
Yes.
And I love the great debate. I love the natural versus curly and the natural versus traditional and the long versus good hair and bad hair and all of the cultural,
right,
corporate, what to do and what not to do and how to look at it, and the political and socialism and cultural.
Well, you know, I hear less today, Cheryl, of the, remember back when it was always, I think the big thing back when I started the Hair Radio Show in 1995,
yes.
I think I used to hear about good hair versus bad hair. I think that was the talk of the day.
And yeah, it was. And it still is.
It was the talk of the day. Yeah, that was definitely...
The problem is, and here it ends, because this is good, I'm going to answer your other question, too, about the technology.
Sure.
But let me just go back here, if I can digress a bit.
Mm-hmm.
The bad hair, good hair is not a problem. Good hair is we have to, we can't fix that part of the conversation until we go in,
mm-hmm,
into our everyone's connection to bad hair, and how do we examine that? And see, in one of the lectures, which I hope I have the opportunity to partner with you, and I come out there and we do a whole big lecture on.
Well, I would love that.
Actually, get the debate right, because actually, what we would do is I would love to get one big debate. We're gonna lock the door. Several hundred of the best minds in beauty. We're going to lock the door, and we're going to get that one conversation right.
Wow.
And all of us is going to get on social media after we leave, and we're going to straighten it out, right?
I hope
I can partner with them. And Brooklyn is the best place to do it, by the way.
Well, you know, we are here, and we are ready.
So, but let me explain this. But when, by the time I break it down, the Curl Academy breaks this down, you would never say it again, because we not only fix the talk part, the word part, we get the language recorrected, we get the pictures recorrected, we get the mental pictures reconnected, we recorrect the emotional connection to it, the cultural context connection to it. We rewrite the narrative and we create and we dispel the myth. We kill the beast and we don't talk about it again. And because that has not happened, that's the problem. We keep talking about it with people who are laymen, who don't really know how to create this corrective coherence, because we keep having this cognitive dissonance with it, Carrie, and we keep going back and forth, and we just keep allowing people. We have to, and then one of the good things about the Hair Radio that I've seen is the reason why it's so useful, because it has to bring some integrity to the dialogue.
Thank you.
So we won't keep saying things, and then once we say things and it gets out into the general populace, it becomes extremely dangerous. You know, words become extremely dangerous. So I hope to, when we can further discuss me coming to Brooklyn and really
oh, absolutely.
Well, actually what they call the great debate. We can really hash it out.
I would love that.
And in fact, let's just invite all the top dogs, because the whole point of the matter is our and we can talk about this later, but our health and our collective immune system depends on it.
I totally agree. And I've got to let everybody know, you have just, you know, here in New York, and you, because you've been out here for quite a bit. You stayed out here in New York.
Yes,
I mean, that's a long, long, long time. And so I feel like you're still a part of the family here. I know you're 3,000 miles away, but we feel like you're still with us. Yes, you know.
I am a New Yorker. I'm a Cali girl on top of it.
Which is unusual. You really do. You combine
people can hear the accent of both coasts. People out here can tell that I'm not from here. And then when I'm there in New York, people say I'm not from there.
They say, yes, they say exactly, yeah. Well, you have that certain something, and you've always had it. I've known you for a long time. You've always had that. And that is just amazing. And you've been able to, you know, really educate quite a bit. We've done workshops and things like that in the past. And they've gone over incredibly well.
Yes.
You know, you come out and you really do your thing. And we have some great folks that we will be organizing this. Now, in February is the big event that we're having, which is our Hair Nation Expo. So that's 3 days here in Harlem on 125th.
Whoa.
So, so we're doing 3 days of that, and we want you to be here for that.
Oh, yeah.
We can't do a hair event without you being here to talk to the folks, in Harlem. Your old neighborhood, we're going to say. I'll leave it at that.
Oh, no, you're right. I spent 19 years in Harlem.
Oh yeah, so you know the folks.
Yeah, it's and I miss it. I know that everyone tells me that it's different, but I'm going to go back to that question because I'm a teacher, so I always remember a question.
Go right ahead.
But to go back into the technology, what we're working on now, we got and I hope I get to explain it, and I hope I get to present the new technology live with you there in New York City, because to present new technology, you have to be in people's faces. Just like Steve Jobs, when he was introducing the iPhone and the iPad or the OS 10, you have to be in people's faces.
Yes.
People have to see you. And it's easy to one thing to do it over email, it's one thing to do it over the phone, but or even in a radio media, but to really be there.
That face to face.
Right, to get the technology in your hand, to get the green jar, as I call it, because I actually literally do have a green jar. It's a sample jar of all the technologies in the small little quantities. And you get this eco jar called the green jar. And It's got, and we've got three technologies, of course. We've got.
Okay, because when you say the
California
green jar, I'm thinking that's the money jar. But
yeah,
no, you mean a different.
Well, I never
thought
about it like that.
It's a different way to look at it.
That's California Green. Number two is Curls in HD, which is a phenomenal technology. And we've got HR, which is high resolution, and this is a relaxer that is 99% chemical free, but it's a very sophisticated technology because most women, and I'm going to say this, and I want you to actually, you give me your feedback on this.
Sure.
Most women who came out or are in the natural transitional or want to be or natural who wore relaxers for years, I am finding as we study their in a poll that they are anti-relaxer more than they are pro-natural.
Please explain that because we've always thought it was one and the same.
No, not quite.
All right.
And when you go in, you know, when you go and deal with culture, straight hair is not foreign to African black people. Only because there is straight hair in Africa without any mixing. It's just a fact. Curly-haired people create straight hair. So our love or like or affinity for straight hair is not, it is 50% because of racism, obviously, and because of the other issues, cultural issues, socio-political issues. But our connection to straight hair is also anthropologic. So the point is that once I present a technology that deals with our connection to straight hair is should not be just connected to us wanting to fit in or the stereotypical experience, but we should be able to have ultra transition, texture transition, and some women should want to wear their hair straight all the time. It is convenient. It is pretty. It is multi-stylable. It is a lot of things. But this technology allows you to be able to wear and still have both without the damage or without the deterioration or having to give up your curl S pattern.
Mm-hmm.
But it does allow you to be sophisticated and for you to want to wear your hair straight all the time without any compromising or putting the curl pattern in jeopardy.
Amazing.
So in response to that, being pro-natural, then you don't want to do anything to the texture. Most, we find this, the women that fit in this category, they are worried about being safe. It's more about health than it is about a cosmetic choice to be natural, making a socio-political statement of their blackness. They don't really care about that. They understand that, you know, I'm black regardless of what, you know, it's almost like an African who has blonde straight hair in maybe the sub-Sahara who's never mixed, doesn't have European blood. But somehow African people, all the most diverse continent on the planet, has straight hair in it. So we here we go again. If we can get those paradigms shifted, then we can enjoy the multitude of what the dominant curly hair type we call Afro texture allows us to do. It allows us to do a plethora of things to it as long as we keep it safe. And that's the zone we want to be in the future.
Wow. Well, I have to say, Cheryl, and let me just remind everybody out there, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and my very special guest that you've been listening to is Miss Cheryl Morrow. And Cheryl, you are a stylist, you are a hair educator, you are a chemist for the industry, you are hair royalty, the daughter of the legendary Willie Morrow. What can you say about where the industry is now compared to when we chatted last, which probably was a long time ago. But what can you say? Did you ever think the industry was going to get to this point where there would be a huge explosion in terms of healthy hair being a big part of the conversation? Did you ever think that?
When you are involved in the technological part and the scientific part, creating things, bringing people forward, finding new creative minds and inventors and surrounding yourself around the ones who create and produce, yeah, you kind of see where it's going. But let me just go here. I think the issue, the number one issue is we've become an OTC industry, and that's over the counter, and we have not been. And once you're over the counter driven, that means you've stopped technologically advancing. Number two, that means that OTC, that means that anyone can, and anyone can should. But we know in a world of sophistication, highly productive, and a level that is generating, let's say, for example, the computer world. So Silicon Valley produces at a very high level. There's a certain excellence there, high performance. You know, so if we are not doing that, and we've become an OTC industry, that opened up the floodgates for what we call mixologists, which are now what the leading chemist is. They're making things, they're making juice, they're making cocktails, and they're making mud pies, and it's called the kitchen. And black hair care, just in its history, its legacy, is not rooted in the kitchen at all. It's very workshop, very laboratory, you know, very George Washington Carver and Austin Curtis, one of the great lab teams in the history of beauty. You know, Mr. Morrow, these are lab people. So we don't have a history in the kitchen. So for the ultimate lack of creating even – connecting to STEM people, connecting to our engineers, connecting to our MBAs. This is the only commerce Black America has shared alone for several generations. And now we act like we can't make anything. So when you don't participate in that Silicon Valley kind of production and behavior, so... unfortunate, you have things that happen to companies that start out that way. They're not sustainable, so they end up getting acquired, and then they unfortunately disappear. And unfortunately, I think that's what happened to Carol's daughter. There's just not enough intelligence there to create sustainability. Hope they are in rebuilding stage, but we don't.
Well, I think they've been taken over by L'Oreal, I believe. Weren't they bought out by L'Oreal?
Yeah, but think about it. That's the point. Someone, a company, think about it. It's not that old. It's not a company that old. And for it to have been unsustainable, not, you know, and no stability this quick.
Well, we certainly remember when they got started. I mean,
yes, of course.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the point is that for us to understand and to have a think tank like yourself and to bring other people back, what happens so we can prevent it? So as we rebuild, and that's one of the reasons why I built the Curl Academy, for us to be able to have that talking space to create a real strong intelligentsia to be able to critically analyze the data and for us to strategize and shapeshift to the data, the correct data, so we can begin to solve our problems and really go back and take an honest look at what happened. And I'll make a reference right here to the Korean story, which is very sad because it never happened. But that's what happens when we get on a bad narrative. We just keep making it up, and it keeps steamrolling on down the hill, and then we find ourselves in a very weird place. And then I find myself with you asking me the question, why are we here? Well, we're here in a combination of things, but we have to be able to back into it, unravel it, critically analyze it, tell the truth, actually what happened. Because, you know, some of the people who were there are still alive. They know that narrative is definitely wrong, didn't happen, and what actually did happen. So that is why it's very frustrating to hear a person in present day say, quote, unquote, I did the research. And I'm saying, oh, my God, the research is bad intelligence. That's the problem.
Right. As they say, garbage in, garbage out.
Right. We have to start all over. And that is why, you know, that's why I'm going on tour and traveling and trying to make sure that we can have honest dialogue. And because, and I'll be the first one to tell you, I don't have all the answers, but I know where the bodies are buried.
I hear you. Well, you know what? I've always wanted to ask you this, especially in recent times. Mm-hmm. Where you talk quite a bit about technology and through the Curl Academy, which is fantastic. But what do you say, speaking of technology, when you look on YouTube, if you will, and you see what they call the DIYers, the do-it-yourselfers out there,
mm-hmm.
And because of all of that misinformation that has funneled its way for years, do you have any advice to the do-it-yourselfers? Is there something you can say to kind of...
I applaud the effort. I mean, I really do. Mm. Let me just say this. The reason why I applaud the effort is because I am a former hairstylist. I am a former professional. I am retired. And the reason why I applaud their effort, because we failed them. They're doing... They are in survival. And one of the issues that we talk about in the Curl Academy, when I go into, there's a lecture I have called Heart Cosmetology, Carrie, which is a very fascinating lecture. But it also goes back into where the core of how an extremely profitable industry starts to fall and what is the nature of falling giants. How do they fall? And one of the root is what we call mistrust. And the professional brokerage of the professional, the hairstylists, the smart ones, the real, the ones who are educated, the ones who are exposed, the ones who are, so they, what happens is that I guess how I can say it is sorry about that. I lost my train of thought.
That's all right.
But, I think it's we let them down, I guess. And I think to simply say that we just let them down. So whatever they're doing is in response to that. They're just responding. And Curly Nikki and all the other bloggers and all the other websites and all the the DIYers, as you would say, call them, they're responding. That may not be, it may not be correct, and it may not serve as a basis to build a stronger industry. It is not, it's not appropriate for data keeping. It's just a people responding to the professional rankers, the body that's entrusted, and that contract, that social contract, Carrie, was broken a long time ago, was violated. So what consumers do is they respond. And so I don't get upset when they say crazy things. I don't get upset when professionals say things that are
that are just not right.
I think I have graduated into I think I'm into the passion part of my career, and I'm bringing compassion to it, and I'm going to focus on the solution, which is for us to unravel it, throw everything away, you know. And the problem is, too, imagine you and I sitting at a table, we're putting a puzzle together, and then, of course, the puzzle, we decide to mess the puzzle up. Can you imagine trying to put the puzzle together with all the pieces upside down?
Right, exactly.
You don't know what's under there. You don't know what the face is. You don't know where you can't even see.
You can't even start.
Yeah, you can't even see the picture on the fragmented piece that goes and connects to another. So, you know, that's where we are. So I don't. The advice is to just. That's a very good question, because when you say, "Oh, try to read as much as you can," wow. read what, you know.
Right, then it goes back to,
to contact me and define Acurl Academy. There's a fabulous woman there, and your protege of mine. Her name is Bridget. So she will also, and I'm serious, Carrie. We got to do that big lecture, the great debate.
Oh, we're going to do some great things. And I'm able to travel out to the West Coast also. Shout out to all of our fans out there in California as well. Who tune in and listen to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, yes, go ahead, Cheryl, tell everybody how, if you're interested in finding out about the Curl Academy, what are the best ways they can do that?
They can go to the Facebook page.
All right.
And subscribe. They can personally inbox me, okay? And what we really encourage is for them to be ambassadors. Because it's not the goal, you know, because, Carrie, I mean, I don't want to travel in every state in the union.
Right.
Even though I'm scheduled to do a lot. But I really want us to band together, trust each other, be in an industry where we feel safe, and to where we can share, and everyone can be their own tribal leader, and to really get this spread across, you know, the world, and for us to represent the 96% of the world's population has some form of curl. This is a pro-curl world. It's not a straight hair world. And they understand, I mean, national...
A pro-curl world. May I borrow that?
Oh, sure. Fine. Not a problem.
Oh, I love that. A pro-curl world.
Right.
That is just fantastic.
This is a curly universe. Everything is born into and goes into a curl. It's a natural phenomenon, sacred geometry. That is the way energy travels, sound travels, music travels, waves travel. That's how life begins, and that's how life ends. It goes in and goes out as centripetal. Then it's, you know, it's a great. Great. In fact, a pro curl world is an exhibit, you know.
Wow.
And a lecture.
Well, I love it. I love it.
Yeah, right.
Now, I have to also, Cheryl, I have to ask you this, because I think you were the first person who mentioned this name to me eons ago, and it has taken the world many more years before I heard it again, and several years had elapsed. And so I'm working on a new project with this particular individual in mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to ask you your thoughts on the great Annie Malone. What comes to mind when I mention that name to you?
The first word probably is she is probably the most successful business mogul ever in Black America. She is probably the, she had either, it was either 75 or 50.
75,000, yeah.
Right. And let me just say this. And she had the typical personality, very A personality, very focused, not a very social woman, but very studious and focused, very regal and majestic presence, but very focused. Masons in very white male society loved her. You know, I tell a lot of people that she gets a lot of industry males, Roosevelt, just a very different kind of woman. Very, very, very difficult. Different.
Right.
I didn't mean difficult. Because that's
No, she wasn't difficult. The opposite.
very different.
Yes.
Yeah, very,
right.
Very different. Very different. The driven. Uh-huh. That's what comes to mind. A true mogul.
With a heart of gold, a true heart of gold. And I've asked several individuals, there's always been, for the layman, for the folks out here who, for those who perhaps are enthusiasts, who are not necessarily in the hair industry, but for folks, we've always known and heard about Madam C.J. Walker, and being the first African-American female millionaire. And I've asked others about this, and I'm just curious about your take on it. Does it even matter who was the first between the two? Or why has there been such a big discussion between trying to prove who crossed that line first when they were both friendly with one another and certainly a teacher and a student as well?
Well, here we go again. That is not the truth. And the truth matters because they were not friends. That's a myth.
That's the myth.
Annie, because of her being started first, the truth is that Madam C.J. Walker was never considered a millionaire. And she died way too soon. She died not even before 1920, and you're talking
right.
About,
she died early on.
Yeah, you're talking about Madam Spencer Washington outliving her and out wealthing her. Sarah Spencer Washington.
There were a couple of others.
Yeah, no, well, several others. There was
right.
Garrett Morgan. There was there was a lot of them. There was a lot of them. I think what happened, Carrie, is white America got a hold of a narrative called the $1 Million Wedding, and that was F.B. Ransom. That was the marketing strategy with F.B. Ransom and Alila Walker, which was the daughter.
Yes.
And I think that allure for Madam C.J. Walker, the allure of Alila Walker, that is where the story was embellished and, of course, miswritten by us. Because, we love to write. and because we don't, and see, here we go again. Yes, it does matter, Carrie. Because the reason why it matters is because we're jewels in the truth. How can you wonderfully miss the fact that Madam C.J. Walker became successful at the hands of a black woman's educational institution. That's a jewel,
right.
So you can't miss that because
right.
that
well, is that is a, that's an absolute fact.
That you and I can band together, educate each other, and go to. So it is correct. We need to get the narrative correct. There's another narrative. We need to get the Korean narrative straightened out so we will know how to get ourselves
well,
out of
you know what? let's use this
out of the mess.
Absolutely. Well, is there anything you want to add to that as the first line in correcting that narrative regarding the Koreans?
I would like to do it in person, but let me just say this.
Okay. Well, you know, that's actually a good teaser, Cheryl. That's a good teaser. We're going to have you guys, and you know what, Cheryl, we may just have to have you come back. And we'll do a part two to this hot topic conversation.
Oh, man.
Because
let me tell you, the black hair care story is so mind-blowing how things happen and then how the story was told. And when you get the remix, it's almost like a Saturday afternoon, and you don't want to go outside and play because the cliffhangers just keep coming. It's like.
That's right. Wow.
Yeah, so, you know, and when we finally, and let me just say this, I do believe that we do have a collective conscience, and I do
mm-hmm.
believe that we want to get the narratives right. And I do believe that there is precious keys in the story and the truth of our story as we tell it. Because it's a wonderful booklet. If you go on Annie Malone, you can go on Amazon and you put Annie Malone. There's a wonderful book written by a friend, a dear friend and colleague of mine, Joel Freeman.
Oh, yes. Dr. Freeman has been on our show.
Yes.
And he's a great friend to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Yes,
you're right. He does a great job, and he's written, I think he updated Annie Malone's book herself that she had written and published. But yeah, Dr. Freeman is just fantastic. Yes, you're absolutely right. Cheryl, now you know we know everybody in the hair business, Cheryl.
Yeah, and then there's a wonderful Harlem historian. There's a Harlem historian. He always wears this hat. He was on Martha Stewart a couple of years ago.
Now, see, I probably don't know that
name.
Person. Yes, please do.
There's a great story of Mamie Scott, Alila Walker, Rose Meta Morgan, and that is also who has been buried in Harlem history. You got to dig her up. Rose Meta Morgan, I think she was just as successful as any of them, maybe not in the magnitude of Annie Malone, but oh my goodness, was she ever successful? She was the toast of Harlem, the toast of the East Coast, and she died recently, actually. And her sister just turned 104, I think, died within the last month or two at 104. But it's a fascinating. She's a New Yorker. Her name is Rose Meta Morgan. She was a former ex-wife of Joe Louis. But fascinating, very hair mogul. And this is wonderful, wonderful stories that we have to dig up, discuss, and then that can help us find our way back to success.
Cheryl, it's Carrie.
Yeah.
And yes, and we continue. Sorry about that. I'll connect this right on. So you go right ahead. So you were speaking about a woman also in Harlem.
Yeah, Rose Meta Morgan.
Okay.
I want you definitely
wow.
to catch up on that. Just put that in the search engine, but make sure you want me to send you a couple of links. I will. But anyway, but
that
she's all over
wonderful.
The internet. It's just a wonderful story. Rose Meta Morgan, please.
Wonderful. We will have to do that. Now, I have to say, and on a lighter note, I don't know how much lighter, but I'm curious about what your take is on all of this that was in the news in recent days. And that is this one individual person, and I'm just curious your feeling on this. I don't know if you've been following this story that made the news recently about Rachel Dolezal. And
mm-hmm.
she's the NAACP person. I forget out of there. I think on the Pacific. I think on the West Coast somewhere. I think.
What is it?
I forget, but yeah, it's definitely not New York.
No.
Okay, but now you tell me, what were your thoughts on this? I would just love to know. I know it's definitely off topic, but I just wanted to ask you that.
Well, I think the reason why most people ask me that question, because I'm going to answer it in a anthropologic, historical, social, political kind of
context, right?
Just to put it, blackness is something that's extremely attractive. I do believe she felt black,
uh-huh.
and still does. I believe uh-huh. she does. And let me just say that she has too many deep-seated issues with her family uh-huh. not to have had this issue for a while. She's had this issue for a while. Shown itself or manifested within the last 10 or 12 years. But I really do think, we have known people who we say are, yes, she black, but she white, but she black. We've said that so many times. I mean, it's almost like, I hate to say it, but it's almost like we have an uncle. You know what I mean? It's almost like we have somebody in our family that's weird. And
the uncle always, in the attic.
but they haven't even been in the attic. It's just like, wow, your uncle. You know, but it's the same uh-huh. story as the one somebody's saying, oh, you have a gay uncle, you have a gay aunt. You know, I mean, we've always had a white friend who a white guy dates black women, a black woman dates. I mean, I hate to say, I don't think it's quite that abnormal. But what I do, I do probably, you know, because you have to understand, because, and this is goes to another lecture that I deal with about trust and dealing with of going to a place of bliss and then accomplishing beauty, which is a whole other story. But when we see things, Carrie, through trauma. We see things through terror. Called terrorism. It's almost like when you hear a firecracker and all you hear is war in Iraq, you don't know the difference between a firecracker, a celebration, 4th of July, from gunfire.
Right.
So correct. Gun shell shy or gun shy, it shell shocked, all of that is the same to you. You don't have a differentiation. You don't have nuanced. You're not nuanced. And my people, black people, are just not nuanced when it comes to self-image, cultural issues. We're not sophisticated. We're too busy surviving, getting from one point to the next point. And I don't think in the issue of fact about her lying, we lie. That's what you have to do in America. So a white woman wanting to be black, to a white family, I'm pretty sure that is not acceptable. So she's not been fighting this for, this is not new. I think she's been dealing with it. It's the same uh-huh. thing as you wanting to be something that you're not. I mean, thank God Tina Marie didn't have to hide it because she went with Jen. I don't think.
Well, there was a, I've heard the reference to Tina Marie in recent days regarding the Rachel Dolezal case but I think there was a big difference because I don't think that she, you know, tried to tell everybody she's black per se. It didn't mean that she couldn't have somewhat a black experience, if you will, through her music and through her connections in music and being influenced by people of color.
But you have to lie when you're in education. You have to lie when you're in the system. You have to lie when you're in the NAACP. You have to. Music.
Well, Rachel Dolezal clearly.
Yeah, you can't
clearly
art
yeah.
with the political
right.
structure. You
well, my big thing, I'm going to agree with you, Cheryl.
Yeah, but you can be free in music. Think about it. You can be free in music. You don't have to go there because everyone knows you're white. We never believed that Tina Marie sounded black. But we accepted.
Well, we knew already.
I know, but the point is she never had to hide.
Right, that's correct.
Because
correct.
It was music, was art. Hello, it was coming out of Motown.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, you know, the matter is, if you want to do other things and still be a white woman identifying black, you can't do it. In her mind, it was not just good enough to just be white with your white life and want to be fighting for justice for dark people.
Right.
She had to take on the cosmetic. And let me just say this, and I'm not saying that there is no trauma in her life to create these really extreme reasons why. What I'm saying is that, come on, my people, I mean, come on, we're not really, like, that's not foreign. We've got white people wanting to be black people all day long. We got them talking. I mean, that's not... That's not weird to me. I just don't find it weird. I find it, I think she got caught out there before she can probably, I think it would have went over well if she would have come out of the closet and said, I'm a white woman, want to be black, always felt black, wrong in life, wrong body, wrong color. We would have fought for her. We would have fought for her.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm going to say I agree that she did.
Yeah, I think we got kind of. It just didn't happen right.
Didn't happen, no. But I'll tell you something. I think you're right. I don't think she purposely, because she looked so surprised. You cannot fake that level of element of surprise when it was where it was all caught on camera. And she really, it was like you know, someone who's in a trance. Have you ever seen those folks who are hypnotized? And to thinking that they're, you know, a cat or something, and then they're literally shocked out of it, and their brain can't process it at that moment.
Now,
and that's what it seemed like was going on with her, that she couldn't process that she wasn't black.
Now listen to the
now,
other...
That may not have started that way,
now,
but boy, oh boy, that's where it ended.
Yeah, listen to the other argument, which, of course, this is part of the lecture... because we don't have a think tank to bring these things to the table, we don't understand how hard it is to be white. It is extremely hard to be white. You have to lie, pretend, act like you don't see things, act like you don't feel things, act like your life... Maybe she just was not willing to do that. And what she identified, because we are assuming that to be black is hard, we don't ever ponder what white people go through to be, because it's very hard to go into an office and have to overperform because people expect you to because you're white. And what kind of psychosis does that create to the point where why she made her choice, wow, this feels better. I like this. I don't really have to pretend. I really can care about people and don't feel funny about caring about people because white people make me feel funny about caring about that little black girl's hair. And I, for some reason, want to go over there and do her hair.
Well, that's what I was – all I remember, the thing that what struck a whole bunch of folks, especially those of us in and around the hair industry, I think her hair told an entire story all by itself, literally. Honestly, actual story, a narrative with her hair.
I know, but think about it. Here we go again. We're not critically analyzing the situation. White people started out curling their hair. We didn't create Marcel. Our name is not Marcel. That's a French name. It's almost like we are so shocked that white people want to be black. Why are we so shocked about that when they started like that? A Hasidic Jew doesn't have a natural springly coil on the side of his head. He makes his hair like that. Why? Because there's another issue, but that's a whole story.
Right, it's a whole other thing, but good point.
But the point is they wore wigs. They created, they always wore their hair up and with height. They always wore that stuff. Why is it weird today that a white person does that? You know why?
Why?
Because it's weird that we do it.
Mm.
And our connection to it is strange. We still can't even get the good and the bad hair right. We still can't even get the N-word right. We don't even have it together.
Mm-hmm.
So when a white person gets their juice in it, at least they get their, then they start getting in it. And then, of course, my father said something very interesting the other day. He said, "You want to come over here with us?" "Yeah." "Us?" "Yeah." He said, "Well, then come on, Emmy, because you obviously want to come over here bad."
Yeah, in a bad way. And there are folks who are in our community who are trying to, you know, they have an opportunity to relocate, if you will, for lack of a better way to say it, they probably would. So I say I'm proud to be from this community. And you know something, I kind of agree with you. I really applaud the efforts because maybe, like I said, maybe she didn't start with that feeling and that genuine belief system. But, boy, you can tell that she certainly got there at some point. And you cannot fake that. And for the work that she's done, sometimes we have to, you know, understand and look at it, you know, for the greater good. And I think that her heart was in the right place, even if she has. I think this is more of an issue where she has more issues that she has to deal with on a personal level with her family than she could ever have with the black community. Really? I was like, oh, my, wow.
Some sister should go over there, and just like Key and Pele, I think she needs a black interpreter and say, okay, what she's feeling, y'all, is soul. If you don't have it, she can't explain it. Now, obviously, she has it. And she just can't shake it. And it's the same thing as, I mean, your president is a biracial first president.
Right.
He's not the first black president. He's the first biracial president. The problem is that he identifies with the black part.
That is in a historical context also, you know.
But you can't explain why he looked at Michelle. You can't explain how a person chooses to identify. You just can't explain. You don't know where it is. Is it in the heart vibration, in the mind vibration? Is it in the gender? Is it in the DNA?
Right.
You can't explain that.
Or learned behavior, right.
Black shouldn't make other people have to explain that because we're already black. We shouldn't have to. I mean, that's a very Eurocentric way of having a person have to get into the dictionary and define themselves by what, relative to what. Just if they have affinity to do something, we're the greatest friends of liberty. We should allow them to do it. Now, the issues which she has with her parents, then we do have to tell her to go back home and deal with that. But over here, it's all good, girlfriend, because you've done more with your half-blackness than we've done with our whole blackness.
Then now that is it. And
well,
on that
note,
I have to say.
Do your thing, because at the end of the day, Carrie, we have to ask ourselves as critical analysis this one question. Have ever in history has a black person being in, elevated to a position, and by default that they're black, has rendered the whole collective of black people any privileges, resources, or advantages? Just for the fact that they're black, has anybody been raised to, elected to any position as a black person? Has that ever in history rendered us any resources, advantages, and privileges just by the
I've
fact
never
that
known.
In that
I've
position.
Never known that.
That has never happened.
Exactly.
The fact that if we keep a black or white person who wants to have an affinity for blackness, why don't we try that? Because obviously a
right.
black person being in a position of city council, mayor, governor, assembly person, a person in the White House, that don't render us no privileges, advantages, or
Well, I agree with you on that too, but I look at it also that this person has completely, she identifies so, I'm going to use this word authentically, if you will, because I think it's something that is going on mm-hmm. on a deeper level, so psychologically. So if that's the case, she's done work on behalf of the people with whom she identifies. And that's not a bad thing or hasn't been a bad thing for us. Now, on a personal level, that's why I say it's more of a personal thing. It kind of reminds me of that thing with Hillary Clinton and President Clinton and the whole Monica Lewinsky thing. You know, that's more of a personal type thing. When we saw her family sitting up there on the couch, the mother and the dad, and they look like a missing child. You ever see other people always look where, you know, somebody's missing? That's how they were looking when they were saying that she was saying she wasn't white. I mean, it was a little jarring. It was just
also,
a different conversation.
I also think politically we do have to understand that whiteness does not exist. And I think it's appalling. Maybe it's the consciousness. Whiteness does not exist. Whiteness was invented by colonists. That it's a class. It actually doesn't exist. Immigrants don't come here as white people. They come here as Italians, or Polish, or Portuguese, or British, or Irish, or Scottish, or they don't Chinese or Korean. People don't come here as a color. And I think that, too, also is a problem as well, because people feel Eric Clapton's been playing the blues with B.B. King, and he swears. But the point is that I do believe you can have a culture inside of you that you do connect with and you resonate with. And unfortunately, you have to be born out of that first family, and that first family has to get used to you wanting to be culturalized and socialized different than the first family you came through. And I think that therein lies the problem.
Wow. Well,
you know,
I have
trying
to say, Cheryl, you are just a treasure trove of information, and I love, and the reason that we ask you these questions because you really get to the heart of the matter, and you always give us a different perspective. Now, I've got to say, I want to thank you because we're going to have to have you back. This wonderful conversation will continue, and we will definitely get you back here soon on the Hair Radio Morning Show. But I want to turn back to one thing before we say goodbye, and that's to just remind everybody one more time about the Curl Academy.
Curl Academy, go on Curl Academy Facebook, the Facebook page, Curl Academy, and please reach out to me, converse with me, and like us, and subscribe, and make sure that you write down the next Google Hangout, and just keep listening to Hair Radio.
Hair, we love you, man.
You rock.
Thank you. Back at you. Now, any shout-outs this morning?
I want to shout out to my wonderful friend and colleague, Bridget of Hair Church. You guys got to go on hairchurch.com. You guys are going to love Hair Church. And Carrie, that's going to be probably another interview. Hair Church.
I love that
name. It's literally a hair church.
All right.
With a bishop.
Hair Church.
With a preacher, with a pastor and everything. And I know it's weird, but it is Hair Church.
All
right. You've got the hair manments. And everything. Her name is Bridget Vicente. She is the CEO and president and pastor of the Hair Church. So that's www.hairchurch.com.
We will get her on this show.
That's my shout out.
All right. Well, listen, Cheryl, as always, you know your family here to the Hair Radio Morning Show, and we just adore you here.
All right.
So you're a part of us.
Oh, man.
So listen, we will.
Big hug and kiss to you, Carrie.
Oh, well, thank you. And I can't wait. So when you come out here or when I come out there, we're going to get some shows together, and we're going to just continue what we're doing.
So you are volunteering to moderate?
Oh, absolutely.
The debate?
Anytime.
Are you going to moderate
anytime.
The debate?
Anytime. You know I'm good with all of that. You just have to call me.
Okay.
You just have to call me, and we'll cover it on the Hair Radio Morning Show.
It's a pleasure to be here with you. Okay?
Oh, you got it.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hunt.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of the Sways Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
I have a product called Organic Love Collection Shea Butter. It's a sensual shea butter. And once you apply it, it reinvigorates the skin. It takes care of blemishes, hyperpigmentation. It has all kinds of beautiful oils in it. And what it does for the hair, the nails, and the skin is to renew it and to make you feel beautiful and, moreover, to restore you to self-love and self-care. We're a Christian organization, and we're in the community trying to educate people on eczema, psoriasis, breaking hair, alopecia, things of that nature. And this product is a cure-all for the whole family. If you grab the jar or the bottle, it comes in a liquid and solid. It deals with eczema within 3 days. The longest it'll take is 7 days to restore your skin. And most of all, it's great for the scalp and very uplifting to the hair. It keeps the hair moist and free of breakage. And moreover, manageable. So as you work with it, if you have natural hair, it won't break. And if you have permed or color processed hair, it'll continue to allow for it to have the elasticity it needs so that your mane grows beautiful and healthy. Currently, we are on social media, where business is just starting out. So I started on Instagram, once again, Instagram.
Awesome.
And the name of the company is Organic Love Collection. And we can also be found through Instagram on Big Cartel. So the product could be purchased at organiclovecollection.bigcartel.com.
Repeat that one more time.
organiclovecollection.bigcartel.com.
It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
Kathy, Kathy from the South Jersey area, and you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
All right, it is Wednesday morning. It's August 24th of 2022. It's live this morning. It's our show number 745, and I am so excited to be with you out of Brooklyn, New York. Now, we have it's really mid-show and the mid-show point, so we're always excited to be here live with everybody. I want to just take a moment to shout out to my amazing on-air team who are all kind of taking the day off today, which is just fine and dandy as we kind of gear up for the remainder of the week. We are back live, and I'm grateful to be here with all of you. We have a lot more excitement that we'll be covering over the next few days and into next week. So break time is over, folks. We will be getting real busy here. So I want to kind of just talk a little bit about even what you've heard this morning on the live show. We went into our archives, and every single opportunity I have to celebrate the legacy of Dr. Willie Morrow. And you guys know we lost him not all that long ago, a pioneer from out in the San Diego area out in California. His daughter, who was just a dear, sweet, wonderful light, transcendent light of the hair and beauty industry for Black hair. She has been a dear friend in this program. She's one of our family members here. We consider Cheryl Morrow to be just that. And that conversation, I love listening back to it because it was... It was just a very interesting conversation. And this was, of course, before we even did the Hair Nation Expo in Atlantic City. We had made plans to have it in Harlem, which is in Manhattan here in New York. But as you guys know, as you know, looking back at our accomplishments, we were able to move it to a huge location at the Showboat Hotel on the boardwalk, the first ever hair and beauty show. For the hair industry on the boardwalk in Atlantic City, New Jersey. So it was really quite exciting, and it was just a great conversation. I love how Cheryl breaks it all down, and at the very end, we're talking about Rachel Dolezal, if you guys remember her, you know, the NAACP lady who ended up being a Caucasian who was perpetuating a fraud. And so... you know, or putting on the front, let me just say that. And so the whole thing, you know, we just have always been able to check in with her from time to time on the show. So there's a lot of Cheryl that we'll be sharing with you. And like I said earlier, especially at this time, you guys have been kind of seeing a few postings dribble out on the internet. And I am so happy to really be rolling out the Carapi hair products line. And let me, you know, so you're going to be hearing a whole lot more about this, but let's just take it back a little bit. Carapi, which is an incredible hair growth system. Let me be clear about that. It is a hair growth system that whole and sole purpose is to regenerate. I'd like to also, I'm pausing because I'd like to use the words restore, but I want you to understand that this is a part of a healthy hair care system. And we took a lot of time in putting it together. It wasn't just some product that I slapped my name on. And I'm happy to have folks to usher it back and just, you know, literally be a part of our rallying folks who are looking to help individuals who are combating hair issues. And this is pretty much everybody in our society, really. And especially on the hair education, it all ties in with, you know, different aspects of it. And I just love it.
the new website for everybody's benefit in case you have forgotten. And we'll make sure that Hair Radio is linked up with all the websites are linked up. But it's Carapy.com. So I'm so excited about it, and I can't wait. We'll make sure that we have some things over at UpscaleMagazineRadio.com as well that speaks to Carapy. And speaking of Upscale Magazine, let me just welcome everybody to today's broadcast. All of our amazing fans of the Hair Radio Morning Show from all over America and outside of the United States. I want to make sure and welcome everybody. And a special welcome to the Upscale Magazine Radio people, because they're all kind of heading on down, quite a few folks, to the upcoming Bronner Brothers event, which is this weekend. We'll talk a little bit about that as well on coming days. And just so much going on. Really is. So listen, today, midweek, it's our hump day or whatever they want to call it. And just so much to kind of get into. So listen, we're going to take a little bit of a music break. We are still featuring some amazing music by incredible women who have really shaped hair and beauty, including this woman who really, when it came to braids, I will always see her with these long braids, long before it has become vogue or in vogue to kind of sport the braids. We're talking about Brandy. She is a style maker, and right now we have her with Best Friend. We'll be right back.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Gary Gines, and today we have a very special treat for everybody. We are doing something that, yeah, it is called our bucket list, the Hair Radio bucket list, which is really what we're doing from time to time. We are going to be featuring, you'll hear from the co-hosts, you'll hear from some of our guests on some of the things that are on our bucket list. So we're talking about our top, usually five items for each of us on what we want to accomplish before, as they say, that bucket spills over. Okay, we kick the bucket. So leading in, Michael Hopkins, we're going to lead in with Michael. So our top five items we're going to do with the whole panel. That's Michael Hopkins, Nicole Marie, and me, Carrie Hines. So, Michael, what's on your bucket list at number five?
Wow, okay. My number five is something that I've always wanted to do.
Uh-oh.
I've always wanted to fly a helicopter and also a fixed-winged airplane.
Oh,
though doing that to me has just been something that I've always wanted to do. And it didn't even have, well, no, I take that back. Part of it was because I was in the military, and that was something I actually wanted to do in the military, but at the time, I wasn't in a position to do it.
Mm.
You know, when you're in the military, if you really want to fly, say, for the military, it's a rigorous screening process, and I wore glasses, so... When you're enlisted and you wear glasses, there's some extra things you got to go through and all that. So I never gave the dream up. I just held on to it while going through the business of life and family and kids and all of that. But it's just something. It fascinates me to this day. And especially, you know, military-type vehicles. Planes and helicopters, and that's just something that before I just boom, that's what I want to do. That's my number five on my list.
Wow! As you were speaking and saying, talking about the helicopter and the airplane, I was thinking military, and I was thinking how that's connected and how I can see you doing that, Brother Michael, and that's very interesting. And I can definitely see you doing that, both of them, flying both of them. I can see you right now and being just as excited about it.
Yeah. Who in the world would ever think that that is not Michael Hopkins? Of course you want to fly planes. You are the host of the Vet Talk Radio Show right here on our network. I could see that's Michael's number five. Fly a plane, fly a helicopter.
Definitely.
I could see him just flying like Superman, anything out there. So, yeah, jet pack like the Jetsons. It's Michael Hopkins.
Hey, works for me.
Thank you, Michael. All right. So, Michael, that's your number five, Michael?
That's my number five. And I am quite sure... Nicole Marie, you have something that's just as exciting. That's your number five.
Well, my number five is I've always wanted to learn how to ski. Now,
ski?
I live in Mississippi. Yes, listen.
Oh,
I live in Mississippi, but I'm from Ohio, so I'm used to cold weather, and I'm used to the snow. So I've always wanted to go and stay at one of the mountain resorts. either like Colorado or Utah, and learn how to ski. So that is something that is on my list that I want to do.
Unreal. Unreal. I'm just blown away that your number five is about skiing.
Yes.
Because you know what?
I want to learn.
Well, I don't know because I don't ever think of too many black folks skiing. But I could be wrong because I think folks do ski out there.
Yeah.
They do. They do.
Yeah.
But there's all kinds of organizations out there.
You know, they do have the different groups, black groups that go to the different resorts.
Really? Yeah.
So, yes, there are groups of us that do ski. It may not be a whole lot of people, but, I mean, we do. Black Ski Weekends.
Okay, wow. So what's the hot ski location then?
Well, the biggest one is Big Sky in Montana. There's Breckenridge or Vail in Colorado.
Jackson
Hole, Wyoming, I'm sorry.
Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
Park City, Utah. Those are the top ones.
Wow.
The top resorts.
Listen to
sound like to me, Carrie, that she's been doing her research. So I think this is a dream that's going to come true.
I think you're right, Michael Hopkins. All right, Nicole Marie. So that's what your number five is, and you're sticking
that
with it.
My number five. I'm sticking with it, Carrie. And what is your number five?
Oh, I thought you'd never ask. My number five, guys, you guys know that I come from a background in the amazing airline industry. So talking a little bit about flying like Michael, but I really don't want to fly the plane as I want to sit back and be flown. I want to return to Europe. I want to go back to some of my favorite memories. You guys know I've been to Europe many times. I've been to Paris about five times alone just to go and hang out, Spain and as well as London. And I've wanted to return back to France. That was my favorite European city that I traveled to. But also I wanted to go back to London. It was very expensive in terms of our money exchange and all that back in the day. But I would like to also go to London, but I say Paris. I want to return to Paris. I had a chance to go to the Louvre. I had a chance to see Notre Dame. I had a chance to go to Champs-Élysées, L'Arc de Triomphe. I just enjoyed Paris and, you know, studying French and just being amongst the French and c'est la vie, that's life. So I'd like to do that. I want to go back. So my number five is a trip back to Paris. How does that sound?
Nice.
And how does that sound?
Oh, I mean, it sounds fantastic. You know, Carrie, actually, I was stationed in Germany in the early 80s, and that's one place I never got a chance to go to was Paris, France. And I would have really have loved to have gone there, because when you go to Europe, there's so much history. And I never realized that it was just, you know, we read about it. We kind of say, oh, yeah, I would love to. But that's one thing I can say about the military. The military gives you that thing that you're allowed to go. And you know, it doesn't cost a whole lot because you're already in Europe. They sponsor trips for GIs. And some of my friends actually went to Paris. I mean, I traveled to Germany. But, yeah, I mean, I would have loved to have gone to Paris. It would have been beautiful.
Awesome.
Sounds very fascinating. You know, I had told you before that my dad was in the military and Air Force, and we had lived in Madrid, Spain. So we had the opportunity to travel to some different places.
And I've been to Madrid, too.
While
I love
there.
Yeah.
However, Paris was not one. So that's always a place that's been very fascinating and, you know, definitely a place that sounds very nice to visit. And I can, I would love to be there myself.
Wow. Now you can see why it's my number five. Yes. So traveling back to France, back to Paris, to England, to Spain, to Madrid, all of that. I love it. It was just fantastic.
Places.
And I agree.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, I have to turn to Michael and Michael Hopkins. What's your number four?
Well, my number four is almost as exciting as my number five with the airplanes and helicopters. My number four is something that I've been doing for, ever since I was a teenager. I've been playing the guitar. And one of the things I really want is a guitar collection.
What?
Especially the older guitars.
You wanna create
a guitar collection.
Wow. That's amazing. I didn't know you were a musician, a guitar collection.
Well, you know how that is, Kirby. We're all from, you and I are from Philadelphia. We had none but musicians there.
Okay. Wow.
But that's something that, that's something I've always wanted to do, especially the older guitars, the ones, a lot of them from the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and even the 80s, believe it or not. Some of them are antiques. Some of them are just classic guitars. And some of my guitar heroes played those guitars. One of my favorite guitar heroes was Jimi Hendrix.
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, unbelievable. I used to listen to him a lot. I mean, I still do from time to time. But he played that black Stratocaster, and that's what made me fall in love with playing the guitar. And I started learning, and here it is almost 50 years later.
Wow.
I can definitely see you doing that, Brother Michael. Do you practice and play your guitar now?
Not as much. Sometimes, I have little issues with my hands and wrists and all that, but I kind of fight through it because I just love it. Or I listen to my son play. I taught him a couple of chords, and the next thing you know, he took off.
Wow.
He's right-handed naturally, but he plays the guitar with his left hand.
Wow. Okay.
Yep, and he's really good at it, too. He's really good.
I have to say, I am just shocked that this is Michael's number four, playing the guitar, because I'm just imagining this now, and I can't shake this image, Nicole Marie.
I can picture this.
Exactly.
Yeah, I can see
I'm
him
seeing
now.
Michael Hopkins with dressed in all purple garb, kind of like Prince, with all these curls on his head and a guitar around his neck singing When Doves Cry.
Hey, it works for me.
I
don't have to wear that special spandex suit from the 80s, do I?
No, you'll be in your
don't
army
do that,
garb.
Michael.
Yeah. That's not good. You know, Nicole, Carrie, that's me and the spandex on the 80s. No, it's not looking too good right now.
Okay. We got to wash that image away. Well,
listen,
Michael's number four is all about guitar. Playing the guitar collection. Amazing. Okay, Michael, I think that's why you're number four. What else do you have to say?
I love it. I still have a few classic guitars now.
Okay.
And, I just love them. I really do. It's soothing to me.
Okay. And what else? Yes. Well, we're going to keep it moving for the folks this morning. All right. Good choice. Number four.
And I just know after skiing, I know Nicole has something else. That's her number four.
Yes, I do. My number four is I've always been very intrigued and wanted to visit Dubai in the Middle East.
Dubai.
And that is someplace, that I want to visit. I've seen pictures. I've seen, videos and so forth. Beautiful skylines. Also the world's tallest tower that's there, the beaches, the gold and spice marketplaces, the mall. I want to go and I want to experience that culture there in Dubai.
Wow, Dubai. I'm just saying bye-bye for Dubai. I'm not, I don't know. A lot of my friends and family have gone to Dubai, and I think it sounds amazing, but it sounds expensive. I think it's high as the sky to go to Dubai. That's why, no, I don't know.
I think it'll be worth the experience, though.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think so, too. You might as well go with gusto, because when you as you get older and you become an empty nester and you got the grandkids and all that, and it's just you and the spouse, it's just time to go do some things, you know, whatever it is you ever wanted to do. And that's what my wife and I, that's what we've been discovering, that we can get up now when we feel like it. We can just go do stuff. I have no school plays to go to. I got to write a note for my kid. Well, better than that, I think I better go to school on my kid's behalf. You know, we don't have to do any of that. But Dubai, I mean, it really, from what I see, it really looks like a very inviting place. The clear water, the sand and all that.
Exactly.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and it looks like...
Yeah,
that one building that they built that looks like a sail from a ship.
Right, right. Okay, well, Nicole Marie, I can see that number four is Dubai,
Dubai.
Okay, so very interesting. Okay, so we're talking about Nicole Marie.
All right, now Carrie, what is your number four?
After
Paris, how do you top that?
Well, actually, and my top five, and folks out there, we are counting down our top five on our bucket list, each of the co-hosts today with Nicole Marie and Michael Hopkins and myself, Carrie Hines. Number four on my list today is kind of like I'm still in a travel mindset, not quite as far as Dubai. I'm thinking right next door down to Philadelphia to visit my family, something I have not done in a long time, which is visit family. And that, believe it or not, has to be a bucket list item for me, because for you guys out there, I know it's not a bucket list item because you pretty much visit, you know, I hear you guys you're visiting family all the time. But me, I'm always in production mode all the way up here in Brooklyn, New York, away from everybody pretty much. I'm isolation working for you guys. So I don't get a chance to go visit my family. And so when I come back from my trip to Paris, as you guys know, that's my number five, I'm going down to Philadelphia. Michael's home. It's actually my home, too. That's where I was born and raised in the early part of my life, down in Philadelphia. So I'm going to visit my family down in Philadelphia. That's what my story is for number four. All right.
That sounds great. Yeah, I can relate to that too, Carrie, because I know a lot of times I didn't get a chance to go home, visit family and all that because I was too busy running halfway across the planet, doing all kinds of things and then raising a family and all that. So a lot of my cousins and aunts and uncles, and they never got a chance to just go home sometime and spend a week or 2 weeks or a month just visiting with all of them.
Wow.
I never got
That's
a chance.
Amazing.
But yeah. And I had some very historical in other words, I had some aunts and uncles that could tell our family story.
Oh, okay.
And that's one of the things that, I miss from that, but still have another generation of cousins that I just need to see.
Okay. Well, thank you, Michael, for making that make sense as well. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. I love that, Carrie, and I can definitely see, you do put a lot of time and effort into work, so I can definitely see you taking the time to go and spend time with your family, enjoy being back home and being with them, because family is so, so important. me living here in Mississippi, a lot of my family is still in Ohio, but at least twice a year we go either during the summer and then we either go for Thanksgiving or Christmas to spend time. It's so,
wow.
so very important. So yes. I can definitely relate to that and see how you would definitely want to spend time with your family.
That's my
Hopefully
number four.
A lot of time.
Yes. Yes. Heading down to Philadelphia. All right. Thank you for that, Nicole Marie. And we're still doing our amazing bucket list countdown today. So we're kind of moving along here. And at number three, Michael, what is your number three?
Oh, now this one you guys are going to really kind of say, what? Really? Believe it or not, toy collection.
Oh.
Toy
Uh-oh.
Collection.
Grown man playing with toys.
What type of toys?
Oh, the type of toys that I grew up with as a kid in the 60s.
The distinction of that, Nicole.
Yeah. Like, oh boy, am I in trouble. Like, I'll give you an example, like the G.I. Joes, Tonka trucks, Nyla
okay.
trucks, all the things like that I grew up with as a little boy. I see all the stuff now. You can buy it on the internet. You know, you can go to eBay
right.
and I started collecting this stuff a few years ago, and it got to the point in our bedroom. I had so much stuff in boxes. The boxes almost fell on top of my wife, and she said, "You know what?
Oh, no.
I think this thing is getting a little out of hand here."
Wow.
Because I just got carried away. And it just all started when I saw one of those old toys on Marketplace, Facebook Marketplace. And I bought
wow.
it. I just out of, impulse. I said, "Oh, man, I think I'll buy this." And then after you buy one, the next thing you know, then you buy another one to complement the first one. And it just...
Okay.
It just goes on and on and on, but
okay.
it was an enjoyable time, when you grow up. And plus,
yeah.
I got
yeah.
a chance to, my little grandson, he'd never seen stuff like this.
So
him and I would play truck.
Okay. All right. Well, that's okay.
I love the toy collection idea, Michael, because I think that growing up, the toys then were definitely different than now. The construction of the toys and so forth is definitely not the same, and they're just different. Even the dolls and so forth are different. So having toys from the time when you grew up and bring back those memories of different things that you did, who you were playing with, and so forth, I think that's very important, and I love that.
I just remember Rock'em Sock'em Robot.
Oh,
yeah,
the red one and the blue one.
Yes, I love them. And I wish I had a Rock'em Sock'em Robot right now because I'd be playing it. I'm going to have to go, like Michael said, on eBay and take a look for it. I also...
Everything's
good, yes. Yeah, well, like Michael, we have something in common that I didn't know until this very day. And that is that I also had a G.I. Joe and who was an action figure. See, the boys played with action. We didn't play with dolls. Well, back then we didn't. Today's a new day.
Yep.
But we were playing with action figures. And
yep.
my action figure, I had G.I. Joe. I had the black G.I. Joe.
And
oh,
yeah, that was
the, like
yeah.
You should have seen what they made the hair out of for poor G.I. Joe.
Didn't he have a beard, too?
He had a beard. I had, G.I. Joe. But I love G.I. Joe. He had on his Army gear, by the way, Michael. He had on his fatigues, and it was
incredible. Only way
so
to go.
Yeah, so that was G.I. Joe. But believe it or not, when I was a kid, I wanted – there was the guy that jumped over all the – with the motorcycle – Evil Knievel.
Evil Knievel.
Right.
Yeah. And I wanted, my friend Chung Ho down the street had Evil Knievel. And so we used to play with his Evil Knievel, and I was playing with G.I. Joe. And so you bring back great great memories,
oh,
Michael.
Yeah.
And
great
then
memories.
We played
oh,
Rock'em Sock'em and the Big Wheel.
Remember them too.
Woo.
Oh, and the Big Wheel.
Right.
Oh, man, I remember because a little kid down the street, Jeffrey, that was his name, he had one.
Yeah,
when
that
it
was one of the
most
good old
wow.
All right, okay. All right, so sounds good. So I'm tossing it back, Michael, okay. Thank you, Michael, for that. Number
oh,
three.
Sound
I
like a plan.
You like the toy collection.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I cannot wait. I mean, we didn't, with Nicole, we've been through skis in Dubai.
And Dubai.
Yeah, yeah. So what else is next, Nicole? What's your number
what's
four?
Number
three,
three
rather.
Number
I'm
three.
Sorry.
We're down
number
to
three.
Number three.
Yeah.
And my number three is I would like to learn sign language.
Wow.
I would like to.
Oh, okay.
Yes. I would
wow.
like to be able to learn and be so good that I'm able to interpret and be able to communicate with people that are hearing impaired. Right
wow.
now, I actually work with students that have special needs, and I think it would be a great addition to know how to sign.
Wow.
So it's something that I just want to do.
Well, that is incredible.
Would love to do.
And I
yes.
could just see Nicole Marie back there behind the president signing
oh,
his
yes.
speech and
oh,
going
yes.
all off track.
Okay.
No, no,
oh, a
I
whole
other exactly
story
what
than
said.
What the president
no.
is saying. I can see it now. You know, well, listen, I just think, first of all, how altruistic to be concerned with folks who are hearing impaired and how they understand and to be part of the communication process for them to facilitate
yeah.
that.
Very important.
So,
very
yes,
important.
Very important. So I am just blown away. Mm-hmm.
Sounds great to me. I had that fine opportunity, as we call it in the Army, to learn sign language.
Wow.
Back late 70s, early 80s, before I went in the Army.
Okay.
I studied sign language.
Wow.
I studied it. I went to several college classes for it.
Wow. So you guys can communicate.
Great.
This is true.
Wow.
Yeah, it's such a, the way it's so beautiful, the sign language, and the signs make sense once you start to study and you start to understand. Sometimes I used to have people that actually thought I was hearing impaired. Because I'd be
wow.
signing to somebody else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I remember I scared one person one day on the subway back in Philly.
Wow.
And I was signing to somebody and waved bye to them. And I think the person went to do something, and I started talking to them.
Oh, my.
And the person just jumped. They're like, what? You can talk? Well, yeah.
Wow.
So, but that
okay.
is beautiful.
I can see why Nicole Marie wants to learn to sign.
Yeah.
Nicole Marie,
and
that's
Michael,
your number three.
When I start learning, I'll call you and we'll practice. We'll have to do a Zoom or FaceTime
yeah.
or something so we can practice.
I'm loving it. I'm loving
yep.
it. All right.
Sounds like a plan.
Great number three. Great number three, learning to sign, Nicole Marie.
Now, Carrie, moving on,
yeah.
what is your number three? We had
my
you visiting
number
Paris
three.
And your family. What's next?
Yes, exactly. No, my number three is something that I've already done, but I want to do again real soon. And that is I want to complete my next book. And
nice.
Something that has really, I of course, I have How to Get Rich in the Hair Business, as you guys know, and several other things that I've written and done for other folks as well. That's part of what we do at Hair Radio. But I want to publish a book to help other folks publish books and to promote their books. And I always get a lot of folks asking me about our aspect of publishing and stuff, and I want to be I think I was encouraged to pull together a whole series of books. If I didn't – and I want to that is my ongoing retirement career, if you will. I'll just be writing, churning out one book after the next. So, you know, you'll always have Carrie and my legacy around. That's my number three, is to write my next book.
Yeah, that definitely is a worthy, very worthy thing, because that's leaving a legacy, and a lot of people never get a chance to leave a legacy. You write a book, and that book will be around the next, 500 years?
Longer.
Yeah, longer, yeah. I mean, that's the, we still read hieroglyphics, so.
Yeah.
I mean, it is perfect.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael.
That is absolutely wonderful. I love that, Carrie. I have been a co-author in two books, but I would definitely see how that's valuable and would love to actually know how to do it myself.
Oh, awesome. Wow. We might have project, on the horizon. Awesome.
Most definitely.
Wow.
Yes.
Now you can see why that's my number three. All right. And that's to write my next book. My next bestseller, as we say here at Hair Radio. And that's what we've been doing. If you guys out there are just kind of tuning in, we're at number two today on our countdown of our bucket list items, our top five bucket list items, with Nicole Marie and Michael Hopkins and me, Carrie Hines. Number two, we're going to ask Michael Hopkins, what's at number two for Michael?
This number two, this one, you guys will not see this one coming on my number two. Believe it or not, I want a truck collection of old trucks, believe it or not. You know, real trucks, big trucks, little trucks, domestic trucks, military trucks. That's something I've always dreamed about.
Okay. You want to create a truck. Okay. Interesting.
Oh, yeah. One of the things, you know, like along with the truck thing, and it just fits right in it, I want to get my CDL for truck and for bus.
All right.
I know that seems kind of odd. I just like old trucks. You know, old tractor trailers, the kind of trucks we grew up with, 50s, 60s, 70s, into the 80s, pickup trucks, old pickup trucks, and military vehicles, the kind I used to ride in the military, 2.5-ton trucks, 5 tons, tractor trailers.
Interesting.
It's just something. I don't know how to explain it to you guys, but it's something about the smell in the inside of those old vehicles, and they ride rough, and you got to manhandle them. You almost got to be Hercules to drive them.
Well, now, we don't say manhandle anymore. We say person handle.
Okay, person handle.
Politically correct.
Politically correct. But it's fun driving them. It really is.
All right. Sounds good to
me. Now, Michael, I'm a little surprised that you said truck collection, because you're always going to different car shows and posting different cars and so forth. So I thought that you would say car collection, which is sports car and all the other little the pictures that you post of the car.
Well, we're not going to see, because that might be next on his list. So we're going to let him stay with his truck collection for now.
Okay.
Sounds good so far.
All right. Well, listen, I am just blown away at the idea of a truck collection for Michael Hopkins. I'm just really blown away. I think this is awesome. And I think most of us would like a brand new truck. I'd like a new truck outside my door, too. But not the whole collection, but one red, shiny truck would be great, pickup style, like I'm in the South, pickup style.
Yes.
All right. Yes. So So I can see a good choice, Michael Hawkins. I'm tossing it back to you.
Oh, yes. And let's see. Dubai, skis, family.
Yeah.
What's next on your list?
For the Pomeroy, yeah.
Yeah.
Next on my list is I want to attend a Wimbledon tennis match. I am a tennis fan. I actually play tennis myself, and I would just love to travel to London and attend a Wimbledon match. Now, I would love to see Venus and Serena because I love them, but just being there at a match, you know, watching anyone there, just being in the mist and the atmosphere, that's what I want to do.
Wow. Oh, my. A Wimbledon tennis
match.
Yeah, Wimbledon. You want to go to do the Wimbledon. I love that you, Nicole Marie, are a tennis fan, and I know that your daughter takes tennis lessons.
Yeah.
And see, I remember that, and you fans out there now know that too. And I think that is great. I had the chance in New York because they do this thing. I think it was the Virginia Slims. I forget. I think that's what it was. I'm not sure. But I went to a tennis match, and for the first time in my life, so I got a chance to see. They have what they do here in New York. They do a seasonal thing where you get to come out and work those. People had jobs.
Okay.
I have friends who worked that every time it came each year. And so I got a chance to go to the tennis match. And, yes, our heads look in unison and one direction then the other. Boop, 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 boop. So I could see where number two for you, Nicole Marie, is all about the tennis ball.
Yes.
All right. Well,
and I didn't even know. Nicole Marie, I didn't even know you were involved in the tennis realm. I didn't even know that.
Yes.
Wow, I have learned something new.
See, that's what this is all about. Yeah, that's what this is all about.
You know, Carrie, I might have to change my list. that tennis thing is, I mean, it is interesting. I'd have to, you know, put my neck in check a little bit, you know, with the arthritis. I'd have to just look a little slower than anybody else and everybody. But, no, it looks fascinating to me just to, it's a lot of energy.
Yeah.
They train very hard for that, and it's a lot of coordination. You know, hand coordination, and it's strategy too. Tennis is a strategy.
Absolutely. Well, I can see because I know that Nicole Marie is one of the biggest strategists out there, so I can see why that's number two on her list today.
Oh,
Nicole
yeah.
Marie,
we're
talking
for me.
About to you. Yes.
All right. Now, Carrie, next up is your number two. What's next?
Well, my number two, Nicole Marie, Michael Hawkins, and all the fans up there, my number two is to create a documentary that I call Radiomentary. And that is where we kind of talk about it. Now the style is everybody does a documentary. And for those of you who may not be as familiar, documentary is where a person, it could be whatever it is, they're telling a story. And there are many different styles. You guys got to Google the word documentary. There are many different styles of documentary. Some feature close-up testimonials, others just someone telling a story with pictures. There's so many different things. So I'm intrigued and fascinated by the idea of doing a documentary on my life and sharing that with all the fans of the Hair Radio Morning Show. So that's my number two. My number two is a documentary.
Oh, yeah, that's excellent. I mean, that's just another way of leaving a legacy.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you, Hopkins. Wow.
That would be an amazing story. Yes, most definitely. Just everything that has gone on in your life and how, you know, everything has come to be. Oh, that would be just an amazing story. You have to do that, Carrie. You have to do that.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate that. And so we are down to, okay, we need a drum roll for this.
Uh-oh, drum roll, please.
Number one. But before we get there, we want to remind everybody what you've been listening to is a countdown of our top five bucket list items with Nicole Marie, Michael Hopkins, and me, Carrie Hines. And with a quick review before we get to number one. At number five for Michael Hopkins was to fly a plane. Number four, a guitar collection. Number three, a toy collection. Lots of collections for Michael Hopkins. And his number two choice, of course, another type of collection, a truck collection. And so real nice choices. We're going to get to Michael with his number one top bucket list item of all time in just a bit. Nicole Marie, her number five, a ski trip. Number four was Dubai, a visiting Dubai. And number three, learning to sign language. And number two for our own Nicole Marie, Wimbledon, visiting Wimbledon, and taking in one of those great tennis matches. For me, Carrie Hines, well, kind of like Nicole Marie, I wanted to travel. Top of my top five list on my countdown, number five was to go to Paris, France, to go back to Europe. It's been many years since I've traveled there, and I've been several times overseas, but I would love to go back. At number four, I wanted to do another trip, but this time not so far, to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, to visit family. Family I haven't seen since I've been doing the Hey Radio Morning Show for you guys. I'm going to blame you guys out there. Number three on my list is definitely something that I will get to, and that is my next book, my next bestseller that you guys have inspired. Number two on my list, write a documentary. So along the same idea. And what's interesting, as we get to the top of this number one list, guys, and Nicole Marie, Michael Hopkins, have you guys noticed anything that surprised you about, before we get to our number one, was there anything that surprised you about learning about some of our bucket list items? Like, to me, I found it fascinating that of Michael's list, I think three items so far were all collections that he wanted to kind of assemble and put together.
Right.
I found that to be fascinating.
Right.
Nicole Marie.
I was most surprised by the guitar collection.
The guitar that he, that was surprising too. I didn't know he had the music gene. So we're going to have to, we're going to have to hear some of this. We really are. And it's nice that you inspired your son, Michael, to play as well. So great stories. And like Michael flying a plane, I want to get on a plane, but I don't want to fly. But Michael, you can fly me over to Paris. I'll take that. And Nicole Marie, what can I say? I mean, of course, learning sign language is something that is super, super incredible. And what a great item to have on your top five and to be something that you accomplish. And that's something that's not far reaching. You can start these bucket list items today. Today. And so great items, everybody. And now, what you've all been waiting for, the number ones from Michael Hopkins, Nicole Marie, and me, Carrie Hines. What is the number one item on our bucket list that we're going to talk about? Michael Hopkins, take it away.
Wow. My number one thing, and actually Nicole had guessed it, my number one thing is that I want a classic car collection. My wife and I
do another collection.
My wife and I have always dreamed about having a classic car collection with at least 40 cars in it.
Oh, wow.
always dreamed about that. And most of the cars, they'll be like old hot rods because that's something I'm just really into. I've been into that ever since I've been a teenager.
Wow.
Old hot rods from the 50s and the 60s and even into the 70s. It's just something I've always loved. And, you know, it's just one of those things. Classics, old Cadillacs, Buicks, Oldsmobiles, Pontiacs. Even, what's that one? Studebakers, 44s, that's one of my favorites. 40 and 41 Fords, old Chevrolets from the 50s, from the 60s, even like earlier, Model Ts, Model As. They're just so much a part of our history. And I just love looking at those cars and touching them and sitting in them and the old smells and all that.
We get the picture here, okay?
Oh,
good choices, Michael.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Now, Michael, like I said, I had already brought that up when we were back on number two, so I can definitely see this.
Yeah. We all can.
I can see your car collection, yes. Definitely. So not surprised about your number one.
All right. Well, listen, I am. Because I said, well, Michael is not going to go with the cars. I thought about it for a moment. I said, no, he's got a toy collection, a truck collection, and we probably should have figured. See, I thought he was going to go for a train collection. He talked about planes.
Oh.
He talked about all kinds of methods of travel.
Right.
He really did. So I thought he was going to go the train route. He didn't. He went to the classic car route.
Yes.
So real interesting. Michael, great choice. Okay. Well, I'm very impressed. Michael, I'm tossing it back to you.
Okay. Oh, I'll tell you one thing. I want to see Nicole Marie top my car collection. I can't wait. let's see you top my car collection.
Well, my number one is a little different. It's not any type of collection. Mine is also another travel venture. And I want to go to Africa.
Ooh.
And I want to go on an African safari and then tour around Africa to different places.
Wow.
Okay. Right. I didn't see that coming. I guess
no,
you did beat me out, didn't you?
At all. African safari, Nicole Marie.
Yeah.
African safari,
yes. That is incredible that you're number one, which,
yes.
I think that's awesome. So you want to be out there with the animals and all of that, the safaris out there?
Yes.
Okay. Well, and
I want to tour the country.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you want the continent of Africa.
Experience the culture.
Yeah.
And yes.
Yeah, exactly. Because what I want to make sure folks know, there are lots of different countries over there in Africa. And and it's not all, even though we have a lot of safari areas there, and it really is the mecca for that. They're quite, industrialized, just like here in America. We don't want folks thinking that that's all that's there. So it's
exactly.
Not just the Tarzan-type movie, folks. It is
an incredible society,
and it's an incredible continent with all kinds of earthly riches. So we love Africa. We shout out our fans and our Hair Radio Africa
most
folks.
Most definitely, yes.
While you're there, you can visit Ghana and Nigeria and Egypt and South Africa and east side
so
of Africa.
So many places to visit.
Kenya, and go over across the diaspora of the continent of Africa. All right.
I definitely want to go to Ghana and Nigeria. I know those two.
Me too. Well, you know what? This is time for you to start. They've got those, but they've got a whole lot more out there. So time to Google. Okay. So I'm tossing it back to you, Nicole Marie. That's incredible. Number one, okay?
All right, Carrie. up to your number one. What's next?
Oh, I am the, okay, and I guess I get to say the final word here.
Yeah.
My final choice. All right. Well, listen, first of all, I want to say again, it has been awesome to do this with each of you. I've learned a lot that I didn't know.
Yes.
I didn't know these things. And to know that you're inspiring the fans of the Hair Radio Morning Show to not wait to make it a bucket list item, but to pursue these dreams and make them into reality each and every day. And we're a reminder to do that right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. So my number one today, and that is something that I'm passionate about for the hair and beauty community. It has always been my dream to establish a retirement community, a retirement home that is set up for people who have contributed part of their careers or their careers and given so much to the hair and beauty industry. And so that's what I'd like to do, a retirement home or a retirement community for the hair and beauty folks. And so I'm looking to do that. That's my dream, to establish that. It's that.
That would work.
Wow.
That would definitely work. That right there, Carrie, I mean, that's something that nobody has, that I know of, has gone in that type of direction for the hair and beauty industry.
Thank
pretty
you.
Much. You know, I've never seen anybody go in that direction with that.
Thank you.
I think it would work.
And I'm going to do just that. I have a plan already that's in motion to set that up. Interesting.
Great. Now, Carrie, I must say for your top five list,
yes,
I'm surprised, but I'm not surprised. Number five down to number two, I wasn't surprised because that's definitely you. Getting to know you, those things right there are definitely you. And even number one, I'm surprised just because, okay, retirement community, but I'm not surprised because it's you. Because everything you do is new, on the cutting edge, it's organic, it's different, it's creative, and that's what you always create.
Thank
so
you.
I'm surprised, but I'm not surprised.
Oh,
and I
thank
think that's
you.
That's a great idea. The retirement community
wow.
is a great idea.
Thank you very much. It would give me great joy to continue my journey.
Yes.
So I want to say thank you to all the fans of the Hair Radio Morning Show, as well as my incredible colleagues. Right here, we're talking with the one and only Miss Nicole Marie out of Water Valley, Mississippi, and from beautiful Spotsylvania, Virginia, Michael Hopkins, and me, Carrie Hines, out of Brooklyn, New York. I just want to say again, thank you guys out there for joining us and shouting out the fans of the Upscale Magazine Radio and all of us at the Hair Radio Morning Show and fans all over the world. We'll see you next time.
This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines.
I'm Crystal Jones Vaughn of the Sways Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I have a very special guest with us today. He's from the world of barbering. The Hair Radio Morning Show would like to welcome Mr. Jeff Johnson. Good morning, Jeff. Welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Good morning. I'm actually honored to be here. And you know, I'm very honored, very honored.
Awesome. Well, I have to say, first of all, and I really mean that, welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show, because you're making your debut right here, right now, with all of us here on the broadcast. So what do you have to say? Let's tell the folks a little bit about who Jeff Johnson is.
All right, Jeff Johnson, I was born and partially raised in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Northwest section.
Shouting out my folks down in the Philly area, okay.
Yeah, definitely. I grew up really in Pensauken, New Jersey. That's where I started.
Pensauken.
Yeah, Pensauken, South Jersey. Spent some time in the military, in the U.S. United States Navy. Let me go back a little bit. During the time when I was about 17 years old, I knew I wanted to be a barber. I was the kind that I would cut my friends' hair in school, send them to school sometimes with patches in their hair and looking like, you know, they were sick. And as I got better, my mom said, you know, hey, it looks like you're getting better. You're not making your friends look like, you know, leukemia patients, you know, sending to school with patches in their hair.
Right.
So that was a good start for me. So I knew I was on a good path there. It's just something about the barbering. Actually, my family is filled with stylists, or what you refer to sometimes as kitchen stylists, you know, those who have the skills to do hair, and one of my other cousins is actually a barber in PA. So, yeah, I took up the love of barbering, and it's just, for me, a great way to communicate with people.
Awesome. Absolutely awesome. So I want to talk about that a little bit. You know, there's a big entrepreneurial aspect to barbering. And so,
yeah,
of course, it takes all the talent and the skills and all of that, of course, and the techniques and all of that. But what do you say to the folks who are looking to learn on the business side as well?
On the business side, I always say, you know, back just like when I learned in school, the 80-20 rule, 20% skill, 80% personality. Now, that's not saying that you should just settle to be a mediocre barber or whatever,
right,
but you have to communicate with the people, and through that comes the business side. The business side of barbering, we go to, first of all, going to school will be a great start. I'm a licensed New Jersey cosmetologist, which allows me to not just become a barber, but hairstylist, esthetician, makeup artist, even those who have strictly a barber's license. The business of barbering is something that I believe, which is what's really going to make this industry great as far as being a barber. I always talk to new barbers, even barbers that have been in the industry for a while, about the business side. You have, you know, again, going to school and doing your hours, taking your theory test and your practical exam so that you can get your license, which is very important. You know, barbering is one of the, if not the oldest trade in the world. And so I hold that very dear to me, and I take it very seriously.
I talk to
younger barbers about, again, not just their licenses, because you have a lot of barbers who feel that so that they don't need a license, that they should just be able to go to a barbershop or any shop and cut, you know, in the world and cut. And unfortunately for me, and I say unfortunate because, you know, it happened. But just like when you go to a dentist's office, you go to a doctor's office, you feel good when you see certificates and see licenses on the wall. So when you're in the shop, you have that license, unless your clients and everyone know that you are regulated by a state, and that makes them feel good as far as them being a client. Because in this industry, it's always client first and you second.
Absolutely, and I totally agree with that. I do want to ask you about a couple of points on that, though, just to get your opinion, since this is the Hair Radio Morning Show. You made a very good point about, you know, your license down in the state of New Jersey. I'm up here in New York. We have a little different guidelines. But I wanted to ask you, because I know there was a time in that state where you had to take the entire cosmetology course. And before that, I believe it wasn't the case, and then they made it the case, and then I think it's back again to having it as a separate curriculum. So, do you have any opinion about that whole thing. I think this current governor, I think he changed everything and made it a little bit easier for the students who are in barbering school. But what's your take on all of that?
Well, I can only speak from my personal experience. And you're 100% correct. At one point, you know, it was strictly, you know, if even if you wanted to be a barber, you had to have a cosmetology license. Some years back, maybe between 6 and 8 years, was when they really started to implement the barber's program. And even that was not available at every school.
Exactly.
So, you know, even myself, when I came into the field, at first I just wanted to get that barber's license, and I couldn't get it because the New Jersey only allowed for a cosmetology license, and that's why I wound it up. But now, during this current time, the barber's license is available for anyone who wants to just become a barber. Now, the difference between having a cosmetology license and the barber's license, you know, not just the fact that you get to learn a little bit of everything with your cosmetology, but there's some restrictions that the state puts on you when you're a barber, as far as, you know, certain chemicals and whether you're doing color or doing a relaxer, things like that, or even when you talk about doing facials. Those things are under the guidelines of cosmetology. I see a lot of barbers doing facials who just have a barber's license in the state of New Jersey, and that's not allowed. So
right.
For anyone that's coming into the industry that wants to become a barber, look at that and understand where is it that you want to go with this. I myself having a cosmetology license, it allows me, as I said before, to do a variety of things. Originally, when I first went to school, I wanted to do hair. I wanted to learn how to do hair, braid, and so on and so forth. But I fell in love with barbering. But if you just want to become a barber, go for it. But just understand that there's some restrictions and limitations that could affect you monetarily if you just decide to be a barber, which is not a bad thing. But if you want to kind of expand yourself and expand your horizons and kind of be able to go into and dip into another field in the beauty industry, then definitely having a New Jersey cosmetology license is the way to go.
Absolutely, and that's the thing about all of that, and companies like Hair Radio. We serve to serve the professionals as well as, you know, all of those folks, the enthusiasts and everybody who's interested in hair and beauty. There are a lot of things that you can do if and when you are at that point that you say, hold it, I kind of want to step a little bit back away from the chair. I don't want to leave the chair entirely, but I might want to look and see about expanding my horizons or what have you. That's when you make a phone call to us at Hair Radio, and we're happy to help you. And if that's not the case and you're still behind the chair and you're looking to do some other things even while you're there, we're, of course, here to help and support you with all of that, and we're real happy about that, you know, that ability to do so. Now, the other part of that that I wanted to ask you mentioned about the licensing. We are talking about that, and I'm loving the conversation. I wanted to ask you about the folks out in some of those states where they're trying to actually do away with licensing. I can almost guess how you might feel, but I'd love to hear from you on your thoughts. We've gone from one end to the other. So,
right.
Yes, what do you say to that, Jeff?
And I know exactly what you're saying. There are a lot of states that they already have that in place as far as not having to have a license, even when you're just wanting to do natural hair. I think it was stated it is
right,
but they don't restrict you to having a license. I say like this: I love this industry. This industry has fed a lot of families. It provided education for a lot of people in the hair industry who have children. The way I see it is this, and I think the reason why, and maybe I could be wrong, but the reason why they're starting to maybe fade away from someone having the state license is really contingent upon the people that are in the industry, the shop owners, the barbers or the cosmetologists or the hairstylists themselves, who decide to just, or who are allowed to work in the shop and that have a license. We do things like that, and as the state board comes through the shops, which I've encountered twice, and they see that there's only a few bars that have a license, they kind of take that almost like a census and say, hey, I went to John's Barbershop in Clayton, New Jersey, which, I mean, there is no John's Barbershop, but just for example, I went to John's Barbershop in Clayton, New Jersey, and there was only the manager and two other barbers out of eight who have a license. So they kind of take that, and then, it, you know, that affects this field. Because if you don't see it as important enough to have a license in the state, at some point it's going to say, you know what, obviously this is not a field that people want to get licensed in. So we're just going to do away with that. My thing is, and as I mentioned before, we have a license. We have a state license. It shows that you are regulated by the state. You have certain things you have to do, and it shows that you have certain knowledge, when you're dealing with, especially as we're dealing with now, sanitation, disinfectation, and disinfecting. Those two things, when you go to school and you learn those things, they're very, very important to learn, especially when we're dealing with this thing with the COVID-19, where they made double sure that all the shops in this state and everywhere pretty much take more precaution. Even though we've been doing that already, a lot of us, in my opinion, have not been doing it effectively and efficiently, which kind of hurts this industry. I myself, you know, I the first thing I do when I come into a shop is I sanitize all my tools. If I haven't changed my barber side the day before, that gets changed in the morning, because once you start putting tools inside your barber inside your barber side, and you don't do the proper thing that you're supposed to do, which is to rinse to get the hair out, because once you get hair inside the barber side, you contaminate it, and we don't need contaminated barber side. Because if you have too much hair, that barbicide basically is just pink. It's just not pink, just blue water.
Yes, go right ahead.
That's just one of the things that I do. But like I said, having a license, aside of that, it just shows that there's professionalism in this industry. As I said before, you don't want to go to a doctor's office or a dentist's office and not see a certificate of some kind or a license of some kind that will put you at ease.
Well, what I love about Barberside, and we've had the ED, the education director, right here on our broadcast on the Hair Radio Morning Show. In fact, there's a podcast that's floating out there on Spotify. If you go and get your music on the streaming source of Spotify on their platform, you'll find just search Kerry Hines, and my podcast will pop up. And you'll find the interview with Nurse Leslie from Barberside. And she, when she was here, she talked to us about the shops reopening and what steps you need to take to make sure that you are, obeying proper sanitation guidelines. And what I love about this is that they have a certificate at Barberside.com. So do check all that out, where you can, you know, pass a test. I took the test as well. It's hanging on my wall here, and you can print it out. It's really, really awesome. And they're just leading the charge with health and sanitation. And they, to me, they're the Bible of the industry. So I'm very, very pleased to hear you mention Barberside and understanding all of that. So I have to say, Jeff, well, first of all, let me just remind everybody, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the All-New Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines, and today I have a very special guest who's actually, he's joining our lineup right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. His name is Jeff Johnson. He's out of kind of like the South Jersey area, and we're real happy to have him with us to come on board. He's a barber, a licensed barber, and he's making some waves out there. Thank you, Jeff Johnson. Jeff, welcome to the show. Now, that's G-E-O-F-F. I just want to make that clear. Okay,
that
not the
right.
J-E-F-F.
No, that so, is right. It's the first time when I tell someone my name, that's the first thing I do is give them the correct spelling. And also, I wanted just to go back, and that is a big thing, but I'm a licensed cosmetologist that specializes.
Oh, that's right. I got you. Okay, that does correct that. So you are a licensed cosmetologist who specializes in barbering. Is that correct? That's how you want to state it.
That is correct.
Which is awesome, because usually we don't necessarily hear it that way, but that is awesome, and we applaud you for that. And I think it's just, you know, as you were saying and describing your story earlier, I was thinking to myself, as you were saying that you always wanted to do hair, And you actually went through the whole cosmetology course, and I think you really appreciated that, where I had known a whole bunch of barbers who went through, unwillingly almost. So I think it's really amazing, because they wanted to do the barbering. I do want to make that clear. It's not that they didn't want to go to school. They loved school and loved the course, but they didn't necessarily, you know, feel that the whole course is what they wanted to do. But I think at the end of the day, I think it's awesome, because it opens up a lot more avenues, in my personal opinion. So I think it's great, Jeff.
Right.
So Jeff, I want to switch gears a little bit. I want to talk about coming to the Hair Radio Morning Show. What are some of the topics you'd like to see spearheaded on this broadcast that you yourself will be bringing to your piece here?
Oh, I'm definitely glad that you asked that. One of the things I want to bring to the show, again, really focus on the business side of barbering, and you know, the business side, the financial side of being in this field. Again, going back to the pandemic and the shutdown of the jobs and people not being able to work. One of the things I really want to focus on, as far as being a barber with your license, is also, because you have a license, is also learning how to create a business from your name, which would allow you to, if you operated your business the right way, which would be another time that I would speak about, you would have been able to collect that additional grant money that was given to a lot of the small businesses, and also the unemployment, because there were a lot of barbers who did not receive the unemployment because they never filed taxes.
Yes. Go ahead, please.
So,
that's important.
So with that, that is something that I really want to bring to the table. I need barbers to understand that paperwork is important. Ownership of your craft and of your name is very important, and it would also open up a lot of doors for you.
Correct. And I'll tell you, and on the flip side from the filings of all of that, and I heard another stylist, I think, on the radio show this morning actually talk about that as well. That's very important. And to be registered, it is cash, and we're still kind of essentially a cash-based business. But let's remember to do that paperwork and make sure that you're registered. Very, very important. Like when this came out of the clear blue sky, no one knew that this was going to happen, but you would have been positioned to take advantage of a bunch of those monies that they're pretty much throwing at everybody these days. For those who are able to take advantage, just read the small fine print, please. Okay, please.
Yes.
Important, especially in our community. Please read the fine print. And so that's all, just to be aware on both sides of that debate. Listen, I have to say, Jeff, I'm really, really happy to have you on board with us. So this is going to be just awesome. Listen, is there anybody you want to shout out to this morning on the Hair Radio Morning Show?
I definitely want to shout out to Big Barber Van, who's the owner.
Awesome.
He's driving the barbershop, 1135 Deffin, New Jersey. Great guy, great owner, fair guy. So that's definitely a barber that I would love to shout out. Also,
What's the name of that shop again? We're going to give them a little bit more of a plug today. What's the name of that shop and that owner?
It is called The New Extravagant Multicultural Barbershop, 1135 Deffin, New Jersey.
All right. That is just awesome. And we want to shout out everybody in the facility there and all the clients who come in there. So thank you so much, Jeff. I want to say you're just going to be an awesome addition to the team. I don't know how else to put it. We welcome you. We have a whole host of barbering that we're going to get underway here at the show, and we will be paying attention to you when you launch your own broadcast right here on the program. So we are looking forward to that. Now, that's going to happen next month sometime, so we'll keep you guys informed when that's going to happen. Just keep tuning in to the Hair Radio Morning Show. And, Jeff, in the meanwhile, we'll have you back to take part in some of our panel discussions on barbering, joining some of the folks who are already on board with us, and I think we're going to have a good lineup.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, likewise. All right. Well, folks, thanks again, Jeff, for being with us. And Mr. Jeff Johnson, we will have him back real soon. So thank you so much for being with us. And, folks, keep it right here. We've got a whole lot more of the Hair Radio. Well, all right. It has been an incredible day here at the Hair Radio Morning Show, as always. On this Wednesday morning, I just want to say thank you again. Tomorrow, on Thursday's show, we've got a surprise guest. We've got some throwback music, but also we're going to be continuing to talk about launching your own business right here at the Hair Radio Morning Show. It's been a fantastic midday kind of show, and tomorrow we'll be back with an on the show again starting at 6 a.m. Eastern for the next live installment of the All New Hair Radio Morning Show. It really has been an incredible day. You know, like I said, this is a great time, folks, to go over to upscalemagazineradio.com and continue to stream wonderful episodes of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We'll see you back here tomorrow, starting at 6 a.m. again. Make it a great day. Well, it's that time to bring this episode of the Hair Radio Morning Show to a close. But it does not end here. The show continues over at our 24/7 Hair Radio broadcast network at www.hairradio.com. Now, I must thank today's great guests and our legacy advertisers. These are the folks who've been supporting our show over the years, including Dr. Raglan, Yolanda Raglan at FixYourFeet.com. They are the very best in foot care. She has two locations, one in New York City and the other in Maryland. I also want to take a moment to acknowledge the amazing Troy Ballard, of course, from the West Coast out in Southern California. His company is called Smooth Black Ink. Now, he offers the very, very best in hair care for the entire family. He is a legendary hairstylist and educator. And also, he's a program host right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We just appreciate him again. That's Troy Ballard, a.k.a. Smooth Black of Smooth Black Ink. Also, we are talking about a complete line of products for the guys now. It's at Rugged Evolution. Now, Rugged Evolution Beard Care is the actual name of the company. Rugged Evolution Beard Care makes a complete line. I love their products. Go to www.ruggedevo.com for more details. Again, that's ruggedevo, that's EVO.com for complete details on their products. Also, StimulatingRoots.com. Now, Stimulating Roots is a hair product growth system for women, for everybody, really.